Blog Talk Radio.
Feeling like so free, a new dimension of living. Can't let nobody take that from me. Since you came and raised me with new abilities, renewed my mind, released me from the bondage of unbelief and insecurity. And now my life, it brings new opportunity, and I'm taking out the time to reflect on these wonderful things. You didn't have to care for me and bring to my attention all of the possibilities. A living free in you could bring. Now I have hope and peace. No longer giving you a piece of me. I wanna reach for maturity. So I submitted myself to the King, and I'll be reigning with you for all eternity. No more back in the days when I was young and not a kid anymore. Put away all the toys and games, and now I'm living true life. This is paradise, and there's nothing that can make me change my mind. You got me so high, it's like I'm on cloud nine. I'm loving this life in you. Gotta run this race, no turning away. Said I'm here to stay, yeah. Now you appreciate all the time you take out to show me you really do care. Because you bled for me and gave me relief. It's time to receive everything that life can bring. No, you didn't have to care for me. Give me to my attention all of the possibility of living free in you can bring. Now I have hope and peace. No longer giving you a piece of me. I wanna reach for maturity. So I submitted myself to the King, and I'll be reigning with you for all eternity. I'm going back in the days when I was young and not a kid anymore. Put away all the toys and games, and now I'm living true life. This is paradise, and there's nothing
Saints of the Most High God, amen, amen. It's an honor and privilege to be here on tonight, amen. The Mantle of God Empowerment Program, brought to you by Enterprisement Media Group, EMG Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. We bring you the very best in kingdom broadcasts throughout the week. So I trust y'all had a fine, fabulous time on this evening, praise God. And if you was not on here last night, my God, you missed the show last night. My God, you need to go back in the archive if you ain't already heard about it, amen. It's been a record-breaking night last night. We had a Holy Ghost party, amen. Shout out to Annetta Williams, amen. the psalmist of our Lord Jesus Christ, was on here last night. New York definitely came through, and everybody else who showed their love for that woman of God. Amen. It was just a move of God. Amen. And also like to give a special to the prophets down there in Atlanta, Georgia, Pastor Desmond and Tamar Carruthers. Happy 14th anniversary. The man of God, amen, the Faith Distribution Center down there, they said, well, I've been with the same woman for 14 years. My God, that's a rarity in this hour. So if you know those coupled or anointed vessels, stop by them and just love up on them. If they're on the social media sites, you go to their Twitter, Facebook, hit them up, and definitely just show your love for those anointed vessels of the Lord. Also, a special shout-out to my promise, Rosa Lee Simmons, amen. God bless you, woman of God. You definitely keep me encouraged. Also, to Apostle, amen, Lewis Gordon, amen. I had the honor and privilege talking with that man of God on today, amen. Also, Apostle Calvin, show your love for him, anointed man of God, amen. But we're going to go into a word of prayer, amen, at this time. Our hearts focus on our Lord Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, anoint this broadcast, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And Lord God, we just repent of anything we said, anything we did, Lord God, that's not in your sight, Lord God, that's not pleasing to your sight, that will hinder the power of your anointing going forth on this broadcast on tonight, God. So Lord God, as we come, Lord God, boldly to the throne of grace, Lord God, we ask us for your mighty move on tonight. Touch your bishop on tonight, Lord God, the one that you have raised up in this hour, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And Lord God, let your Holy Spirit, your anointing be between us, Lord God. And we ask that your word go forth, Lord God. Touch those who are here by divine assignment, Lord God. Gathered all around the world, internet, Lord God. World Wide Web, Lord God. Smartphones, iPads, iPhones, Lord God. Desktops, Lord God. Even personal computers, Lord God. Even those who are gathered on the web, Lord God. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that your cause are quickening and stirring in their spirit, that they will be able to partake and connect with the anointing that you have released on this broadcast on tonight, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord God, and we thank you for your angels, Lord God, that are our guard in the spiritual realm, Lord God, even those who you have set at the four corners of the earth, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we go to the scriptures, amen. As we go to the book of pain, amen, the book of correction, amen. We go to the book of pain on tonight. We're going to old school, Acts of the Apostle, second chapter, amen. We're going to start, amen, verse 37. And it reads, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify, exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that were gladly receive his word were baptized. The same day were added unto him about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came over all the souls. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that were together, they had all things in common. Sold their possession and goods, imparted to them all men, as every man had needed. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be added. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have just read Acts chapter 2, amen, verses 37, to the end of that chapter, verses 47. Blessed are the hearers and the doers of God's holy word, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the man of God that we have, who is the power of tonight, amen. Now, this man of God, I met him. It was nothing but God. Met him by the anointing, amen. You know how we do on the mantle of God, amen. This man of God, he comes by way of Chicago, amen. He's the host of 1580 AM Chicago, amen. He's an apostolic overseer. He's placed in the earth realm to set the order. He has a passion for the brothers and the sisters and the youth. Gang members, drunks, winos, you name them, amen. They call him the bull, amen. They call him the bull, amen. He plays no games, amen. He preaches with a passion for God's people in his hour, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. So I bring to you at this time no other, amen, than the Bishop Dennis Jones. Receive him in Jesus' name.
God bless you, everyone. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. We are so excited about being here tonight. We are so excited about what's going on in the earth realm and as well as the spiritual realm. But we know that God is a good God, and he never lost a case. I am the pastor and the bishop of the I Am Fellowship here in Chicago. I am the host of a radio show. It is 1570, not 1580, but that is what we do here in Chicago on Monday nights. We are trying to do some things to uplift God's people in the lateness of the hour, and we thank God for that.
Amen, amen. So correction, everybody, I stand corrected, 1570 a.m., amen. We've been sending folks to 1580. Lord have mercy. Got a whole flock of people flocking over to 1580. Like, hey, Bishop over there. Amen. Praise God. Well, listen, Bishop, we definitely give a shout-out to definitely the I Am Fellowships, the saints that are listening in Chi-Town. Amen. Definitely Chi-Town. Thank you for joining us for this evening on the Mantle of God, our broadcast. Now, Bishop, We just gonna get down and into it, amen. And I know you love that. You love that because you're a real bishop, amen. And so just tell people, amen, where you come from and the things that you've seen on your journey that brought you to the faith of our Lord.
Well, I started this journey some years ago. I've been in pastoring now over 15 years. I'm the Zida Bishop. I came from the Apostolic Church of God here in Chicago under the late Bishop Arthur M. Brazier. The I Am Fellowship was founded and directed by me and God. And our purpose here is to upbuild the kingdom of God. I have a mantle of I want at least 1,000 souls a year to be saved. It does not matter where they are. But I believe that God has blessed us where we go and where we have been led to go to have so many souls in one to him. And I always tell people they don't have to be in my church as long as they saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized believers. That's all that is required. So I am so delighted about that. Where I am to this point of the I Am Fellowship is a great fellowship. It is one that that is needed on this earth because of all of the what we call the avenues that it has. It has a divine ministry, which is under the elect Lady Jones. She is the director and founder of that ministry, and it deals with women of all walks of life who have made some mistakes and who are looking for another direction. First Lady is she's a teacher, a preacher of her own rights. She talks to women from where they are. Because, you know, we are what they call us in Chicago, the coolest bishops and first lady on this earth, because we come right where you are and we deal with you. And if you will see me on the street, you're like, I didn't know he was a bishop, or because I'm not dressed with the suit on, I don't have all the my uniform. I don't have that on because I'm trying to reach people from where they are, whether they're a drug addict, alcoholic, whatever.
Amen.
You are.
Yeah.
I'm trying to reach you at every point. My thoughts were for the fellowship. has several departments. We are embarking upon in the next this coming year our soup kitchen that, you know, I was really concerned when it came to the Iron Fellowship about. I noticed we were always excited about feeding people on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Well, I said to myself, I said, so when you, what about the rest of the year? They don't, I guess they don't eat the rest of the year, so we don't feed them. We only feed them turkey and dressing on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Well, then our fellowship decided that we want to do something different. We want to feed the people every day, 3 meals a day. We want to be able to get them clothes. We want to be able to do some things that no other church will do. So we want to do some things because we do not have a dress code at our in our ministry. We like them to come as they are because Bishop preaches in a sweatsuit sometimes, in a jogging suit or whatever he has on at that moment. So we don't really have what we call a dress code because I believe that it's not about what you have on because somebody could have a suit on or a dress on and have all of the things on and be the hell raisers of the church. I ain't getting that now.
Now, Bishop, oh, Lord, amen. That's a lot of that going on, amen. We're going to get into that. What is the work that you find is so prevalent, that's so critical in this hour that you see up there in Chicago? We know there's a homeless problem. We got gangs going on. What is the I Am Fellowship doing up there in Chicago to meet the needs of the people?
We're meeting the needs of the people. We're trying to, right now, we're in the process of trying to obtain another building to expand the I Am Fellowship to the point where we'll have a meeting our young people with the GED, meeting our young people at somewhere to go. We have what we call in the next year to come, we're having a what we call the Bishop's Cafe, where you'll be able to have poetry come, people that read poetry, rappers, all the gospel artists that have never been heard will be able to come to the cafe and reach to young people to where they are. And we want to be able to, because we see that a lot of things that, you know, they took prayer out of school, so we want to bring it back to the point where they may have took it out of school, they didn't take it out of your house.
Amen, amen. Now, you was just talking about, okay, we got a caller here on the Message of God Empowerment Program, amen, early. They want to get at Bishop, amen. Caller, welcome to the Message of God Empowerment Program. We got the Bishop Dennis Jones on the bull, amen, with your name, please.
Hello, Bishop Jones. How are you?
I'm fine, and you are?
This is Anetta Williams. I just wanted to come and say hello.
Lord, God bless you. How are you? God bless you.
God bless you.
I was getting Bible study. I was enjoying it. You ain't had to stop.
Now, Psalmist, you're not going to have New York hurting us again tonight now. Because you know you got a follower.
I put the word out. Now, I can't help what may happen. He just gave a good word. I don't know what's going to happen. Can't be held accountable when you want to hear words.
Lord, we done broke records on Blog Talk last night, amen. Y'all ain't going to work us again tonight, amen. But go ahead, Psalmist. You got any questions for and that's the Psalmist Anetta Williams for you, though, if y'all don't know already, amen, the woman of God that on last night.
Awesome,
but go ahead,
awesome lady.
Bishop, I do have a question, and I just want to know the difference, because I see a lot of people with titles of bishop, and a lot of them are doing the elect bishop. So I'm just trying to get the understanding what the elect bishop means.
Good question.
On elect bishop, most of those that we do that have the elect, that means they are just being appointed as bishop to that elevation. And then you have some that are using it just for title's sake and not doing anything with it. But that's a whole other story.
Okay, that's, I mean, and I only ask because people ask me questions when I'm doing facilitating classes and studies, and people ask me a lot about titles, and, you know, I just refer right back to Timothy with the titles, and I guess
right.
a lot of people ask, you know, where is the elect? And I tell them, listen, I'm just going to go with Timothy.
Right. It's what we do as when a bishop is being elevated to the bishop, they call him bishop-elect because he has not been fully put in his rightful place. So a lot of them that have the elect is because they have not been fully in place. But you still have to really be careful because I was listening to a program a while back where they called bishops, they called us not illegitimate bishops.
Mm. Well, how that not legitimate bishops, when the Bible says that he that desires the office of a bishop desires a good work, as long as you meet the qualifications of a bishop and you're not a novice, lest you fall in the condemnation of the devil, why would that be a matter of concern, Bishop?
Well, I think that the reason they were doing that, the reason that this particular era was talking about is because there were people that were popping up as bishops, and they were not really what they would call qualified to be bishops.
Okay. Okay.
Amen. So I got a question for you, Bishop.
Yes.
I got a question for you, Bishop. Can a single man be a bishop? You're not married. The Bible says that, you know, should be the husband of one wife. Can you explain that to us? Can a man that's married be a bishop?
I'm trying. I don't really want to tap that too much because, the Bible says the man that desires, he has to be a man of one wife. Some bishops had wives, but their wives are either passed away or they're no longer with that wife. They are still in their office. So you can't really say yes or no onto that project for that problem because there are bishops that I know that they no longer have the wife that they previously had for some reason or another, but they're still bishops. It does not necessarily take them away from who they are.
Right. That's a
Amen.
Good question, but I agree. I do agree with you, Bishop. Situations changes quite often on that. But still, kind of and piggyback on his question, now for someone to be in the office of, and I'm going to get off the phone because this is not my call.
Sister, you are good.
For someone to be a bishop, shouldn't they have their own church?
Ooh, Lord have mercy. You about to blow the phone lines up.
Now you're going to what we call a shipwreck.
Okay, I'm going to leave you alone, Bishop, because you are right with me. I love the Bishop Jones. I ain't messing with Bishop Jones.
Well, I will try to answer this without some of my colleagues jumping down my throat. They should have, with an assembly. There are some that are bishops, and they may not have a facility of their own, but they have churches. I got churches all over Nigeria, but my church has what we would say not a facility per se, but I have churches all over the world. And so when it comes to should they have a church, most of them I know have churches.
Okay.
Amen. Woman of God, so you have any more questions for Bishop Dennis Jones at this time? Amen. And definitely, just for the sake of those who wasn't on here last night, I Let them know where you're churching out of.
I'm churching out of Mount Olive Baptist Church. And I also want to say, I'm also a member of my mom's church still, St. James House of Prayer Church of God in Christ. So I'm a dual member.
Bishop said, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I grew up listening. I pay tithes in both places.
Ain't nothing wrong with that either.
I grew up in Church of God in Christ, and, you know, that's what I grew up in. And when I got married, Bishop, I followed my husband.
Amen. Amen.
But thank you for allowing me to ask you questions on tonight, and you have a blessed night, and I love you all in the Lord.
God amen. Bless God bless you, sister. God bless you. Y'all definitely support the project. Amen. The work in progress.
Amen.
My psalmist, Annetta Williams, Anointed Project. Amen. If you desire more information, if you wasn't on last night, you go back at the archive, blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot. You'll see her picture up there, special guest Annetta Williams, and you definitely go there and download. All the information is there, her website information. Download that and be blessed. Now, Bishop, now, we was talking about the office of a bishop and everything. How long have you been officially in ministry before you came to Rise as a bishop again?
I've been in ministry almost 25 years or more.
Amen, amen, amen. Wonderful, wonderful. So you've seen a lot of things. You've seen leaders come and go. You've seen leaders come and go.
I've seen leaders come and go. Yes, I have.
So what are the things that trouble you in this hour about the state of the physical church, not so much the spiritual church, because that church, Christ says, the gates of hell should not prevail against it. But we're talking about more like the assembly of the physical body of people that congregate together. What kind of certain things that you might see that you say, you know, that kind of bothered me, and the Lord just quickened me to do something about that in this hour?
When it comes to to answer that question, I did a study a while back because I wanted to see the difference of the way people were worshiping, praising God. So I went to Baptist Church where I came out of Baptist Church before I went into Pentecost, and I wanted to see how they were worshiping. And I went to Catholic and I went to a lot of other churches. God has blessed me to be able to preach in some of those churches as of today. But the thing that really was getting me was because, and I like for you to answer this if you can. I was reading the Word where the Bible says that there are 12 gates to the city. My question to everyone that's under the sound of my voice is, where is the denomination on the gates?
My.
And when I came to that point, I have a play that I am getting ready to orchestrate. It's called Could This Be You? It's where a young little boy is talking to his mother, and they're at the 12 gates, and he is trying to decide which way should he go and which gate can he go through. And he'll find out that he can't go through any of them because none of them have a denomination on them.
My God. My God, all you theologians that listen to EMG Radio, y'all pay close attention right now, amen. Y'all pay close attention. I know y'all in your doctrine books, eschatology and all of that. You put that down for a minute, amen, and listen to some revelation, amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
I began to study it a little bit harder, and I wanted to know, is there going to be some people standing outside the gates with signs to say, I'm on the Baptist side, I'm the Presbyterian, I'm the Church of God in Christ, I'm Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm this and I'm that. Or then it says, well, if that's the case, then who's being assigned to these gates? Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So who was going to be able to say, oh, I could do this? But you can't really say you can do this because we all have come short.
Okay, Bishop. So we know about denominations. You're talking about the denominations right now. There's no denominations in heaven. Methodist, Baptist, Holiness, well, Pentecostal, all of that stuff. But then the Lord does say us to do one thing. He does call us to be holy. He does says in Psalms, he said holy, David the prophet, he says that holy and reverence is his name. Then he also says, if my people who are called by my name, so we know that God is holy, and he has called us to holiness. Now, some folks, I know my Baptists, I love y'all. I got to ask these questions because I'm the host. Now, my Baptist brothers and sisters, they would say, well, brother, you know, we have the laws of the Baptists, and I know about the fundamental Baptists and those different sects. God bless y'all, too. And then we have the Methodists, and then we get down to the sprinkling and immersion. It's the little stuff that divides
the body of Christ. That's correct.
You know, it's the little stuff, the stuff that we don't have enough. We just sit down and say, okay, you know, that's where we have to take the scripture and receive the revelation.
Right.
So what do you think God is going to really use in this hour? Not think, but what God is quickening you to say in this hour as far as the unification of the body of Christ. When you was talking about those gates, how is God just in his last days bringing the remnant of his people together? I'm talking about to where that Ephesians 4 perfecting of the saints could come in, that the Baptist, the Methodist, the Apostolic, Pentecostal,
look,
all of us come in like, you know what, we've been fighting too long. God says us to get lined up, you know?
I believe that God is using people, what we call the X generation, to bring these people to the place where they need to be. God is not using what we call the ordinary people that we were using before. God is picking out people that are unusual, that are not about. They're all about kingdom building. They're not about how many cars I can drive or how many houses I can build. It's about kingdom building. It's about getting the people into the kingdom. And what I think that in this time, God is using people to build his kingdom. Not build monuments, but build his people. Because we build enough monuments, but we ain't building no people.
My God. Okay, Bishop. I love that answer, amen. And that was just so critical. So about building the people. So God has given you an assignment of training and building up leaders. So God has have you, you're training up apostles, prophets. You have the fivefold ministry in your ministry. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what are the things that you find, like we got a generation that says, I hear from God. Bishop, I hear what you're saying as far as the counsel and the advice you're giving me, but I hear from God too. And what you're telling me and what God's telling me are two different things, Bishop. And see, I love me more than you, so I'm going to go ahead with the voice that I hear. We have a kind of like a people like that's raising up too, like this generation that don't believe in submitting to overseers. That just say, you know, they go authority, go from church to church. What are some things that you maybe can say to a person who is listening that said, okay, I've been in six churches in a year, and I'm about to go to my seminary?
You know, sometimes I've had people that do that, that they run from church to church like a revolving door. And it's not the church. It's find out it's really them. It's not the church. It's them. They don't want to sit still and hear what God is saying. They're worried about, they run and they keep saying, well, this is what God is sending me, this is what God is sending me. But when you really sit down and think about it, is it really what God is sending you, or is it something that you just want to do? Because if you're going where you're being fed, and you're going to, and you are actually being fed by the Word of God, God is everywhere. So why run to another place?
My. So, in this hour, Bishop, we noticed that a question was posed saying that the bishops in this hour are getting younger and younger. It's like we don't have them like you or Bishop G.E. Patterson, God bless the man of God who gone home to be with the Lord, or Bishop Charles Blake, amen. We don't have them getting that old no more. Bishop like 21, Bishop like 22, 23 now. What would you say about that? Is there a danger of, and I have to ask this question, I really don't want to, but I have to, is it a danger of the experience? Like, the old mothers of the church, they saying, this young boy ain't about to preach to me, and you ain't been through nothing. You ain't about to tell me how to live right, and here it is, you ain't even been married yet. Or you may not have been through the things that put some oomph in your preaching. How do you think critical is, okay, you say God sent you, but you can't identify with what the people are going through, so have God truly sent you?
I can really answer that question, because when I started out preaching some years ago, my first congregation was older than I was. They were my mother's and father's age, and I was the youngest pastor. Matter of fact, my assistant pastor was older than he was. My oldest, my father, he was 67. I was 35. And I ran into some things then, but I had to let them know that I was trained by one of the best in the world, the late Bishop Arthur M. Brazier, and he taught us well how to minister to the needs. See, the problem is not, you have to learn how to minister to the needs of everybody and not just a certain number.
That's right.
It's difficult when you are a young pastor and you have an older congregation, you're trying to change things. You can't change old people's ways. Not real quick. You have to let the Spirit move you. And not you move the Spirit.
Yes.
Because most of the time, we as young bishops, we don't get around the older bishops. So you know, I still go around the older bishop. My brother's older than I am. He's Bishop Jerry L. Jones, senior here in Chicago. He's my brother. He's my oldest brother, and. I learned from them a lot of the older bishops that when I wasn't even a bishop, I was just an elder, and I learned from them and watched them, and I took, as they say, took a pen and paper and started writing to see what they were doing. And so if I ever had gotten to this point, I would be able to handle where I am.
Amen. So Bishop, what is a question came in, what's the difference between a bishop and an elder?
The difference between the bishop and the elder, the elder is always under the bishop. He's in the Pentecostal church. We first started out as what we call freshmen, so we'd probably be minister. When I started out, I was minister so-and-so. And then when I got ordained as an elder. And then as that, so it's like an elevation to the next level. Then I went through, as they say, I went through all of the ranks, you know, and then there's another one which was called the district elder. In Pentecostals, they are what they call the next levels of ministry. They go into next levels of ministry. Some are elders, some are, they start as ministers, then they start coming up to elder. And then after a while, that some of those that are elders, they are what we call normally in the seat. They're a little more seasoned than the ones that just started out.
Okay. We know in the scriptures, I believe, and it's in the book of Corinthians, Paul says that it was given to him as a minister of the gospel, but yet we know Paul was an apostle. A lot of the young men in the streets, they often say that the church is has too much structure, or, you know, God is raising up the remnant. They say you don't stick to the book. There's a lot of add-ons, like archbishop and chief apostle and all of that. Do you feel that those titles are deviating a little bit too far from the plan of God, the word of God?
Well, the archbishop, if you really look at the archbishops were some that are in Catholic Church. They have archbishops. That is the what they call the man that has not only he has a lot of a cabinet of bishops.
Hmm.
He has a cabinet of bishops. The Catholic Church has a cabinet of bishops, and there's the cardinal, then there's the archbishop, and then, you know, it goes on up, and it goes all the way to the Catholic, which is the Pope. But when to try to you're saying I'm probably missed a little bit of your question. Just give it briefly back to me again, and I can try to see if I can.
Okay, well, it's basically saying that we have like a lot of add-on titles. Like we know the word missionary is not even in the Bible, but yet
mm-hmm.
we the church, we say, well, you know, missionary baker.
Right.
You know, a lot of titles like, well, chief apostle. But we know Jesus Christ is the chief apostle. And then we have reverend such and such, but yet the Bible said holy and reverence is his name. So there are brothers and sisters who are faithful listeners to this program who feels like a lot of the church leaders are deviating from the word of God, the God-breathed word of God. What would you say to them into that light as a bishop?
Excuse me. I would say, when it comes to that era, I really would say that you really have to be very what we call cautious of titles. You have to really feel like you are really. I believe that when they say reverend, that means when they talk about a lot of those people that have reverends and doctors and things of that nature. Reverends were used in certain organizational periods. Reverend so-and-so, I've seen it most of it in some of the Baptist churches. And I'm not knocking anybody who they are, but I believe that we really just really have to be very cautious when it comes to these titles and because I really don't push a lot of titles, and that's why I don't really mess with it too much. Because as long as you are doing, I believe that if you about kingdom building,
right.
Your title don't mean anything to me.
Right.
My title, you can call me brother. As long as I see a soul getting saved, that's all that's important to me. So it's not really about. The title, Just don't, as my kids, we say, just don't call me sister. But I'm good, you know. When we, it's very touchy. Some things are very touchy. You don't really get into, because there's always a conflict when it comes to people and their titles and their position. So you don't really tamper with it. Because it is very, very touchy and very sensitive subject for people. So I don't really get into it because of that reason.
Okay. One of the last questions, I got to ask the hard questions. I'm definitely a supporter of your bishop. Got to ask these questions. Who ordains a bishop?
Well, who ordains bishops?
According to the word of God, who is supposed to be ordaining bishops?
I got ordained by a bishop.
Okay.
I got ordained by bishops. First, I got ordained by my pastor, who's going on, Bishop Brazier. But I didn't get ordained through a service through him, because he could not come because he was battling with cancer during that hour. And he was at his final stages, so I had to go to his home.
To get Amen.
The hands. And I think I'm kind of crazy, because whenever I would minister, I would go get my hands laid, my pastor would lay his hands on me before I go preach anywhere. When I became got into going to my elevation, I notified my pastor as my bishop and my leader, and he was not able to do it at the service per se. So I went to let him do it privately. And then I had a service where another bishop did the consecration.
Amen, amen. 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We have the Bull himself, Bishop Dennis Jones, here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. You can definitely press 1, amen, all you New York listeners who came by way of the Somers and Netta Williams, amen, we love you, amen. And also Chi-Town, we see you out there, amen, definitely press 1, amen. ATL, Georgia, amen, we see you, amen. Also down in the Carolinas, amen, you definitely want to ask the question to this man of God, amen. You don't agree with it, amen, press 1 and tell him, amen. Definitely call in, show your love for this man of God. He's doing our phenomenal work up there in Chicago, amen, where God has him in this hour and this season. Now, man of God, we know you're married to a wonderful woman of God, the elect Lady Jones, amen. How many years you in marriage?
We've been married 6 years now.
6 years? That's like, in this day and age, that's like 6 times 2. That's 12. That's like 12 years in these age. Because folk don't stay together long no more than the world, that's for sure. In the church, because we got the highest divorce rate. How has marriage life been treating you? We know that you're very, 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 very happy. We see you smiling a lot preaching these days.
marriage is, I tell everybody, let me first say that this is my second time around, for those that know who I am. This is my second time around, and I'm very happy as where I am today. God has blessed me with one of his angels. First Lady Jones is an angel. My thoughts when it comes to marriage, I realize that it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. Being in it's not something that you should take lightly. being a pastor, preacher, and all of that, most of the first ladies know that your husband has two wives, and the first one is the church, and the other one is them. And they have to share their husbands with a lot of people. They don't just share him with their church home, but they share him with people abroad. And it's very, I would say, to keep the fire burning and to keep the candle going, I would say sometimes you just have to, well, in our days, and what we do is I take a day off. That's only for the family only. I don't deal with church business, anything that has anything to do with church. It's a day off where I'm just with my family, my wife, my kids. And I think that a lot of times we as preachers and pastors, we become more church-bound and not family-bound.
All right now, Bishop. Oh, Doc, you on it now, amen. We're going to stay right there. We're going to stay right there, Bishop. So, and we've got a lot of preachers listening on tonight. Let's be clear. The phone lines are definitely jammed. You can definitely get your question in as we be prepared to go there. 347-945-5416. You press 1. Bishop, what are the things that you see in as far as marriage that are really, and we know you counsel a lot of preachers, a lot of men of God, what do you see that is really disrupting? What would you say to that young? I heard the bell. You know I was about to go there. Amen. We're going to say hold it right there. We got a caller on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Caller, give us your name, please. Is Annetta Williams?
No, this is actually First Lady Dr. D. Jones. How are you?
you know what? You got a sweet spirit just like a psalmist, amen. That's why I said, isn't that a Williams? I said, okay, because you started laughing, amen. She'll
That's
do something like
wife.
That. Amen, amen. God bless you, woman
That's
of God.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Hey, amen. Y'all see the woman of God came to the man of God rescue. Pew. Wait a minute. Let me stand by him on this one. Amen. I'm just messing with your first lady. Amen. Okay. Amen. Bishop, now we was talking about marriage. We was talking about marriage. What are the things that you've seen that ails preachers in this hour as far as marriage and relationships?
What fails them is that I would think a lot of times we are so busy in ministry that we don't have any family time.
Mm. Mm.
The problem with most of them, and I've had pastors that I've talked to, most of them, their church is more important than their family. And then you find that we have people that don't really take that family time out. They don't take family time out. And so then they wonder why their families are all up in uproar.
Amen, amen. So not to leave the woman of God, the evangelist, you're evangelist, amen. What are some of the things you've seen that young women go through in ministry as far as being that helpmate to their men who are preachers and it's our evangelist? Or do we still have a...
Yes, I'm still here. Hello.
Okay. Hey, amen. We was asking, we were just talking about the realm of marriages and what are some of the things that you've seen that many young sisters have experienced having men in ministry and stuff like that, just really trying striving to find their role, amen, as in marriages, amen, just young couples when they may have a young preacher coming up or they may be in a ministry right beside them and they meet on different wavelengths.
Oh.
What are some of the advice?
Oh, my God. Not only being a preacher's wife, but also being a preacher's daughter is one and, you know, basically one and the same. What we up against is we get judged a lot. A lot, because everybody's looking at everything that we do. I know they looked at me a lot, you know, especially as you can see, my husband is a little bit older than me. So, you know, they look at how I dress, how I talk, my educational background, how I raise my children. Everything is in a nutshell. Nothing is ever private. But how I am, if my husband can tell you, I have a career outside of the church. So I keep it 100% all the time. If you go read me like a book, baby, let me put it out there for you. I am your magazine. That's how I feel about it. So what I tell a lot of young ladies, you know, you're coming into a ministry, but you know you're working for a man of God, and we up against a lot because guess what? They are celebrities. Women are coming at our husbands 24/7. Mm. Young, old, in between, crippled, blind, it don't matter. They there. But at the same time, we have to understand that, yes, our husbands are what they are, and they are in the limelight. Don't get pushed behind. Be your husband's helpmate in the pulpit, out of the pulpit, everywhere you got to be. Keep yourself looking good, smelling good. Be his workout partner. Do what you need to do in order for the women in the church and the outside world to understand where you are. Yes, I will admit, I get challenged a lot. My husband can tell you I get challenged 100 because I am number two. But number two doesn't always mean that I'm the best that was waiting for him. I'm the best package out there.
All right.
I know the world hear me saying this. That is true. So at the same time, I had a very good teacher, God rest her soul, my mother, the First Lady, Letty James. She's gone on to heaven now.
Amen.
And she told me that sometimes you got to be quiet and just look and watch. And I do that. Sometimes I'm not always with my husband when he goes to events because I'm on the other side of town. He's on one side of town, you know. So it is what it is. But then at the same time, I also tell a lot of women, do not let your husband counsel women by themselves. Have a female witness in their room. Because you're not going to say he did something. I'm going to just straight up tell you, are you telling the truth or are you telling falsifications? Which one is it today?
Amen.
I mean, being real, because, like I said, outside of the church, I have a career. I'm also in law. So, therefore, I know when you're lying.
Amen.
So,
amen. Evangelist, I definitely feel you on that, woman of God. Amen. I definitely feel you on that. Bishop, you want to go ahead and listen? I just was saying while your wife was talking, amen. I said, now I see why y'all so good together, amen. Because y'all got that balance when you know. Because Bishop, he cool as a fan. He's cool he's cool under pressure. I mean, Bishop is Bishop, okay? You know, First Lady, she that's the fire side. You know, that's the fire side. But y'all mix together well, amen. And I bless God for that, amen.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Amen, amen. Bishop, tell everybody about your radio show, 1570. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 1570 a.m.
The radio show here in Chicago is normally on Monday nights. Basically, we do what we do now. What we're doing right now is we talk. I'm going to be talking in probably the next few weeks about family because I'm noticing that when we go to what we call home goings, a lot of times the family, what we call the hall that holds the wheel together, may be gone, and then the family disperse.
Yes.
And instead of us coming together as a family, we divide. The family no longer becomes strong. In this season, because this is actually what we call the holiday season,
A lot of people don't even speak to their family members. Some of them say that I haven't talked to my sister in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I haven't talked to my sister since my mother passed away. I haven't talked to my brother since my mother passed or my father passed. And that's not a good thing. You know, the Bible says divided we fall and together we stand. And then it says talks about a family that prays together, stays together. I believe that with the radio show that we do, we talk over issues that that are really what we say people don't want to talk about. We talk about stuff that they just don't want to talk about. You know, it's not something, I mean, we talk about, you know, things that basically people just don't want to talk about. It's about, we talk about family issues. I am now dealing with, I want to talk bringing artists that have never been heard. They see you not really in a lot of stores. We know about the Kirk Franklins. We know about Donnie McCluskins and all of them. But then there are some other CDs that are that are same amount of quality and same amount of power that we don't even play on the radio. They're not because they're independent artists. People don't, you know, want, you know, they just don't play their songs. So I just, when I decided to do this, I wanted to be able to bring in some artists that had never been heard before. Their CD, they had a fantastic, the young lady, Sister Williams, I believe, well, that I talked to on last night, her CD is outstanding. I believe there are a lot of CDs that are out there that we don't even, you know, we don't see it. And you don't even, because I happen to go on Heart Radio, and I don't even listen to our station in Chicago. I listen to other stations outside of Chicago. And I find that they play music that Chicago don't play at all. So you don't even know about these artists until they came up to a Grammy or came up to a Stella. Then all of a sudden you know them. But they've been out there a long time. There are quartets that are out there that people don't hear all the time, and because they're not what we call name brand on the international level, we don't have them on. So a lot of that's what basically it's all about. But the whole idea of everything is geared to build and to save souls. That is what the whole purpose of it is about.
Amen, amen. Well, Bishop, I want you and your wife to give out your information, the location of your church, and I want everybody to just get your pens out at this time and just give, you know, where you may send any, if they want to sow into this ministry. There's a work that's being done up there in Chicago from this man and woman of God. All my preachers, amen, all my fivefold ministers, amen. This is good ground. This man of God and this woman of God, they're doing the work up there. Amen. So I need y'all to really support this vision. Amen. That God has purposed him to do in the earth realm. I know Sister Anetta Williams. Amen. She's putting the word out. Amen. About what you're doing up there in Chicago. And I know a lot of other artists that are listening in, a lot of national artists that are listening in. Please support this man of God's work. Amen. Him and his wife, they're very sincere in what they do. Definitely support. So you can go ahead and give out your information, Bishop and First Lady, at this time.
What they can do is they can. I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on all of the national networks. You can catch us there and send. You can inbox me, and I can send you all the information about us and our ministry. Both of us are on Facebook. We are on all the time. You can inbox us, Divine Ministry. You can inbox my wife, Evangelist Danetta Jones. She's on Facebook. You can tap through my Facebook and get her. I really want you, if you will, those of you that listen to us from wherever we are, to just inbox us and let us know that you heard us tonight, so that we can be able to get back to you and as soon as we can. I love to see letters, and I love to see information come through. We are really trying to change lives by the thousands. Pray for us as we continue to do the will of the Lord here in Chicago. That's about where you can find us.
Amen. Firstly, Evangelist, do you have any words you want to say, amen, to the young ladies, to the brothers out there, amen, about what God is doing up there in Chicago, and any other information you want to give out along with your husband?
Well, the one thing I need to say, yes, I am the founder and creator of Divine Ministries, which is a women's ministry, but it's basically for blended families. And you can reach me at divineministries19@gmail.com. And also, you can inbox my husband to his Facebook page. I read everything anyway, so that's fine. But one thing, one word of encouragement I want to give young men and women. Remember that life is like a math problem. You can solve it or you don't. It's up to you what you want to do. It's up to you to find that faith of a mustard seed in order to make it to the next level. But young ladies, if you're thinking you're becoming a first lady for a popularity contest, no, sweetheart, that's not it. You're becoming a first lady to be the first lady of God, as well as that man of God that is working his way through to bring people out of the wilderness. So in that term, I pray and I ask everybody to have a beautiful and wonderful holiday and bring in 2014 with the love, blessings, and faith that you need to go forth. And I'm getting off this phone and let my husband have his shining light. Hi, baby. How you doing?
y'all too. Get a church. Amen.
God bless you, everybody.
Hey, God bless you, Evangelist. That was First Lady Jones. Amen. Our beloved bishop's wife, amen. She definitely is the woman of God that God has assigned to him, amen, in his walk of life. We definitely bless God for her, amen. Bishop, this has been the fastest hour I ever seen, amen. And you just so cool, calm, and collective. Your wisdom of God, man of God. You just have such a wisdom and a graveness about you, amen. And you just, you, as they said, you're cool as a fan, man. You're cool as a fan, amen. And, you know, I had to ask the hard questions, and you didn't shuck and jive me, amen, like some folk do, amen. You came right at me, amen. You stayed cool, amen. And the Holy Ghost just answered the question, amen. So I just bless God for you.
Bless you, my friend. I bless everyone. We thank God for all of you that have listened in and may have tried to get through and couldn't get through. You can always send your questions to me by Facebook or Gmail or whatever, and I will answer you personally through that. And we want you to continue to pray for us as we continue to do the will of the Lord here, and we stretch the new season coming into our lives to do a musical CD soon, that the Lord will bless us in that endeavor. And so we pray for us here in Chicago as we pray for you, that God will bless you in a great way.
Amen and amen. Definitely, and all my gospel artists listening in, you definitely need to reach out to this man of God. Amen. Inbox him or social media sites, whether it be Facebook, Twitters, all of that stuff. Email him. He'll definitely get with you, amen. He'll get your music. Y'all set up something. Get you out there in Chicago, amen. So if you made it this far into the broadcast, amen, it's meant for you to get that information, you go back to the playback, or you go, he's all over, you just Google him, amen, and he'll come right up, amen, and definitely reach out to this man of God. Once again, I'd like to give a special shout-out, amen. They probably worshiping right now. Pastors Desmond and Tamar Carruthers Walk by Faith International Ministry, celebrating their 14-year anniversary, amen. They are a critical piece. My God, on Zion, they're a critical piece to my walk, amen. They distribute, by the hands of God, a lot of faith into my life, and I thank God for that man and woman of God, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. Also like to give a special shout-out to Pastor Hill behind the scenes, handling all your calls, making sure everything is up to par. All the staff at Nathan on the spot, amen, does such a wonderful job, amen. Bless God for him, amen, and his wife, amen. Also, Pastor Shula, all the saints are listening in, amen. We thank you, amen. Listen, tomorrow we got Minister Weathersby. Minister Weathersby, him and Pastor Sherry, they will be on, amen, unless the Lord builds the house, amen. Sound the Alarm Ministries will definitely be in the building, amen, sounding the alarm once more again on Tuesday night. So definitely check them out. Also on the wall, maybe on Wednesday. Thursday, we got Dr. Theologian Peter Paul Ventura, Imperial Beach, California, our very own theologian. He will be breaking down scripture, amen, applying the three laws of doctrinal, spiritual, historical interpretation of the Word of God. Amen. For all you deep folks, amen, who like to get all Perry Stone-ish in the scriptures, you go here on Thursday night. The brother goes in by way of God's Spirit. Amen. He's a fundamentalist. He'll go deep down in there with you. Amen. So bring your pen and your pad on Thursday night. That brother there, he'll go in. Amen. Also on Sunday night, we'll be back here with the Kingdom Voices broadcast, another groundbreaking night. We're going to have St. Woods. He's a gospel artist out of Ohio, amen, who's been making a lot of noise, amen. This man of God got a lot of shows coming up, amen. St. Woods, amen. He's an awesome man of God, awesome artist, amen. So definitely check that out this Sunday on the Kingdom Voices broadcast. And then next Monday night, we'll be doing it all over again, amen, on the mantle of God. On behalf of the staff of EMG Radio, on the spot, Nathan, amen. God bless you, amen, and definitely support this ministry, amen. And go get Work in Progress by Psalmist Annetta Williams. Bye-bye. Good night.
my precious Jesus.
I'm a working prize. ritual. I am just a servant that's working to be your mirror who reflects Jesus through every blessing and miracle. Every step that is critical and hardship I'm living through. I ain't supposed to be perfect, I'm called to a purpose. I'm supposed to point the world to the risen Savior. At the same time that I direct traffic, be your advocate and show love to my neighbor. But I still have my moments. I notice that I am not focused on living how I'm supposed to be. God didn't work out on the clock, never quit in time, so he's not finished with the job that he called me. I am just an object in his project, and his process is something we gotta process. So my progress is ordered by the Most High. You'll be patient if you're putting in overtime. My God is still working.